May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. You may be seated. Well, fitting my lifestyle, or the pace of it, and frankly, that of our modern culture, the Gospel of Mark has always had a special attraction to me. It's fast-paced. It moves from one activity of Jesus to the next. We see the word immediately used over and over again, and it gives us a sense of purpose and urgency. The gospel begins with the baptism of Jesus and ends with his resurrection. It is a story of action. There's an emphasis on what Jesus did, not just what he taught, as important as that was. Jesus heals the sick and restores the lame. He raises the dead and causes the blind to see. Leprosy is cured. Demons are driven out. Nature submits to his will. The wind and the waves of the sea respond to his command. And Jesus walks on the water as if it were dry land. And by these actions, we are to know that Jesus is the Son of God who brought in the kingdom of God. It is because of the almost hurried pace of this gospel that our passage stands out so clearly. In this case, it's not the action of the passage that catches our eye, but the inaction. It is similar to when two parents are sitting together and one looks at the other and says, "Did you hear that?" And the other says, "I didn't hear anything." The other says, "Exactly." Because they are both raised to suspicion, because silence in a home with children often means that something is afoot. When Mark moves us frantically from one event to another, saying immediately the Spirit drove him to the wilderness. Immediately the fever left her. Immediately he got into the boat. Immediately he picked up his bed. Immediately the Spirit convulsed him. It is startling to hear Jesus stopped, or as some versions have, stood still. Jesus stood still. That is not a characteristic of our Lord. He moves throughout the land of Galilee, ministering to those who are in need of the gospel. He was active in healing the infirmed and rebuking the hypocrisy of the Jewish leaders. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost, and he moved throughout Israel like an itinerant preacher. In the verses just preceding our passage, Jesus explains to John and to James where his journey would take him next. Verse 33, saying, "Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and will hand him over to the Gentiles. They will mock him, spit on him, scourge him, and kill him. 3 days later, he will rise again." Our Lord was sent by his Father to accomplish a task, and Jesus was not to be deterred from it. His resolve was sure, and stopping wouldn't seem to have been a part of his itinerary. Speaking of his passion, Jesus said in Luke 12:50, "But I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how distressed I will be until it is accomplished." He was eager for the work that his Father had laid upon him. So what was it that caused our Lord to stop and to stand still? It must have been something of the utmost importance, right? Well, that is what we find so surprising. Unlike many of us who move throughout life at a ridiculous pace, often with spiritual blinders on, our Lord stopped because of the cry of a blind beggar a man named Bartimaeus. Servants wait upon their masters. Mothers wait upon their children. Husbands wait upon their wives, especially in department stores. But who should expect the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ, to wait upon one who is lower than a servant? Bartimaeus was a beggar, but the evangelist Mark tells us that Jesus stopped. In our society today, we are almost numb to the sight of beggars and homeless people, troubling us when we are on our way to do something or to go somewhere that is so much more important than that beggar could ever understand, right? Yet Jesus was on his way to the most appointed moment of all of history. And what did he do? He stopped for a beggar. So how is it that the Son of God stopped for a lowly peasant, a beggar? Our passage says that Bartimaeus was seated by the road. This was a strategic location that gave him ready access to those who were traveling in and out of Jerusalem. This important trade route would have been traveled by merchants and the prosperous, as well as the pious traveling to Jerusalem to worship. Any one of these might have been inclined to throw alms to this beggar. But what was it that got our Lord's attention? Our passage says that what got his attention was a simple prayer of faith and a cry for mercy. Bartimaeus' face should be apparent to us, but just in case we miss it, let's spend a couple minutes talking about a few things about Bartimaeus' faith. First, what was it that prompted his faith? Look at me with verse 46. Then they came to Jericho, and as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a large crowd, a blind beggar named Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the road. When he had heard that Jesus the Nazarene, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Where did Bartimaeus' faith come from? From hearing. Bartimaeus was roused by the word that Jesus the Nazarene was coming. Certain truth that the church has asserted over and over again throughout the years is that faith comes through the hearing of the Word of God. In this day and age, can we hear that too often? But particularly as we look at this passage, we see that the faith which caused our Lord to stop in his tracks was initiated by a simple prayer of faith and a simple cry and words that came from Jesus, from the crowd, "It is Jesus of Nazareth." I have to be honest with you, sometimes when my faith is tested, I can identify with a man who said, "I believe, help me with my unbelief." How strong is your faith? Is it weak? What is the remedy? First and foremost, our strongest remedy is God's Word. If the words, "It is Jesus of Nazareth," can produce a faith that halts the Son of God, how much more should we expect when we have God's entire inspired Word readily bound for us? Having established then that faith is founded upon the Word of God, how did Bartimaeus exercise his faith? His faith was manifest first by earnest and relentless prayer. Our reader did a great job of this text. Thank you. He cried out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." But then he was warned by the crowd around him to be quiet. They tried to silence Bartimaeus. Why was the crowd imploring the blind man to be quiet? Their attempt to silence him parallels an earlier attempt of his disciples to stop the children to come to Jesus, back in verse 13. That is, they seem to be saying that Jesus had more important things to do than to visit with little children or to spend time with a blind beggar. But Bartimaeus cried out all the more. In fact, the passage says that he kept crying out. His faith was persistent. "Son of David, have mercy on me," he cried. How consistent are we in our petitions before God? How quickly do we give up or hold our peace? Or worse yet, how quick we lose our attention to something else that's coming along the road in our lives. Bartimaeus was not going to be silenced. Real faith does not come and go. It stays and persists. Remember with me the parable of the unjust judge recorded in Luke 18. "Then he spoke a parable to them, that men always ought to pray and not lose heart, saying, there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, 'Get justice for me from my adversary.' And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, 'Though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continually coming she weary me.'" Jesus tells us that we are not to lose heart, but to continue to pray. During certain seasons of the year, we often recommit ourselves to this important discipline of prayer. But Paul tells us in 1 Thessalonians that we should what? Pray without ceasing. Now notice with me the readiness of Bartimaeus' faith. When the Lord called him, what did he say? How did he react? Look at verse 50. "And throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. He removed his cloak. He got rid of any encumbrance that he might have had. Nothing was going to stop this blind beggar from coming to Jesus." Very likely, Bartimaeus had been sitting on part of his cloak and had the other part wrapped over him, had a front of him like a basket so the people could throw coins into it. I believe it's fair to assume that this cloak was either all or nearly all that this beggar owned. But he wasn't going to hold on to it for fear that it would slow him down. What about you? What about me? Are we willing to set aside our possessions, our priorities to get to Jesus? To meet him in that place he wants us to be at? Are we hiding little pet sins? Or are we possibly holding on to burdens that we ought to be giving up to him that is preventing us from meeting him in that place? The writer of Hebrews speaks to us about that in chapter 12, saying, "Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith." Bartimaeus' faith was ignited by the words that it is Jesus of Nazareth. Excuse me. Problem with using an electronic device is if you are big-thumbed and you hit it too hard, it moves on its own. So sorry. Bartimaeus' faith was ignited by the words that It is Jesus of Nazareth. His faith called him and drove him to pray. He removed the one thing that might have slowed him down. And for his faith, what did Bartimaeus receive? Listen to the words of Jesus to Bartimaeus in verse 51. He asked Bartimaeus, "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus has bound himself to providing for you and for me. Providing the essential things, yes, but also providing for us the things that we need to help advance his kingdom. So Bartimaeus asked to receive his sight. In verse 52, we read that Jesus said to him, "Go your way. Your faith has made you well." And immediately, he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. Now able to see, Bartimaeus falls in with the crowd trailing Jesus. In the context of the scene and the ongoing procession, the title Son of David has an added ramification of foreshadowing the triumphal entry into Jerusalem and the coming of the kingdom of God, which he had just been describing earlier to St. John and James. Earlier, Bartimaeus had been described as being seated by the road. Now that he has been healed, he began following Jesus on that road. Bartimaeus has been transformed from a helpless man who was going nowhere to a restored man on a road of discipleship. We affirm in the Gloria Patri each week that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If that is so, then the same Jesus who stopped for a blind beggar sits at the right hand of God the Father and ever lives to pray for you and for me. The same Jesus who stopped in his tracks and was held captive to the needs of Bartimaeus yearns to hear from you and from me. Is your faith weak? Each morning and night, go to Scripture. Have you been inconsistent in your prayer? Each morning and night, pray. Pray by yourself. Pray with others. Pray with your family, with another Christian friend. Is there unresolved sin? Throw it off. And if it is deeply entrenched, make it an issue of your persistent prayer and seek his healing. Jesus' compassion and power are demonstrated in the healing of a blind beggar named Bartimaeus. He puts into practice what he had just been teaching his disciples. He gives his time and attention to one of Israel's lowest members of society. And by giving sight to the blind beggar, Jesus has demonstrated that he is indeed the Son of David, anointed by the Spirit of God to proclaim good news to the poor and to open the eyes of the blind. This incident provides a fitting conclusion to Jesus' public ministry, which began in Galilee and now turns to Jerusalem for the final phase of his earthly ministry. As we move on through the seasonal weeks of Epiphany and on in through Lent, and finally on to Resurrection Day, may we have the faith, effective prayers, and decisive action as this blind beggar, Bartimaeus. Amen? Let us stand now and close our service singing hymn number 108, Angels from the Realms of Glory.